God says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Genesis 2:24, Ephesians 5:31, quoted from the beginning, marriage has been instituted by God. Anything else will usher in the end of humanity as we know it. If you marry your cat like they do in England, the world cannot go on. At least so far, the age we're in so far. So God says marriage is between a man and a woman, but the Supreme Court mocks God and overrules God and establishes a law in which a man can marry a man or a woman can marry a woman. That's mocking God. God says this is the way it'll be. The Supreme Court says that is mocking God. And payback's coming for that. Payback's coming. When a country turns away from the commands of God and calls evil good and justifies debauchery, then that country's turned their nose up at God and has mocked him at his word. Nevertheless, don't kid yourself, God is not mocked. How does the Supreme Court mock God? The date, January 22nd, 1973. The case, Roe versus Wade. The end result, abortions become legal in this country so that women could be free. I've never known a man that's had an abortion. I know of a trillion men that have forced people to have them. The death count so far, 60 million perhaps. I know it's higher than that. 1 in 4 women have had an abortion. Only 1.5% of abortions are due to rape or incest. In 2015, 35% of all pregnancies in New York City ended in abortion. For African American women in New York, more abortions happened than babies that were born. Now, by the way, that number in New York City is over 85%. 8.5 out of every 10 pregnant black women in New York has an abortion. That's incredible. And you wonder, and you see, you know, you are a minority because it's your own fault. I say it, I'll say it again. You want me to say it again? You're a minority because it's your own fault. You've been doing that nigh on 50 years now. And you're a minority in New York. This is your own fault. You're slaughtering your own children, people. And this is the consequences for that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Sorry, it is what you're always going to hear the truth in this church, whether you like it or not. You can always count on that for 1 hour once a week. Might not like it, but it is what it is. Abortion is murder, and you're going to pay for that. Thank God, though, he didn't die for nothing. We'll get to that later. How does the Supreme Court mock God? The date? June the 25th, 1962. The decision? U.S. Supreme Court ruled that government-endorsed prayer in public schools is unconstitutional. It's now against the law to pray in school. And this quote right here, what I'm going to read to you, is what got banned. This was so offensive to the judges in the United States. This is what they banned, and I quote, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country, unquote. Verbatim, that's what got banned, and that's what brought about this law here in the United States. That's why you can't pray in school. That was the day this country gave Jehovah the boot and said to him, get out. And Jehovah God, being the gentleman that he is, said, your wish is my command. Look around now. How's that working out for you? Look around at the schools in America today. It's all because of what men did. They mock God. The Supreme Court mocks God. And this is the end result. You and I are living in a nuclear fallout of a country that snubbed and turned its nose up on God. If God sends people into a tizzy and a frenzy, rips the very heart and soul out of people and divides this country and creates all the infighting and idiocy that you see out here today, it's taken to crazy extremes. Bibles are not allowed on school buses. Crosses can't be worn by students. But this one thing is allowed without your approval, and that is an abortion on your child without you knowing about it. That is what is allowed. That's the definition of insanity. That's insanity. That's insanity. Your kid going to school and getting an abortion and you not knowing about it, that's insanity. And we want to talk about, Bill, praying 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Man, you got to get this evil out of this country first before you can pray that. Get the evil out of the school systems before you pray that. Get the evils out of the Supreme Court before you pray that. A few more years of that and Donald Trump would have had all 9 replaced. Is what it is. It is what it is. Like them, hate them. Look at the Supreme Court that he's put in there. They fear God. Do with that as you will. The second group that mocks God. Sorry, I'm going to have everyone here until, I think it's going to be 3:00 before our meeting is done today. Good Lord, I'm sorry, people. I don't mean it.
Nowhere else to be.
This is why we started this service without me picking out my traditional 2 songs. So as y'all wouldn't kill me. The second group that mocks God, society. Where to start? Try turning on the television. Then again, you better not do that. Let's call this group entertainment. The name of God used in vain is no longer a swear word on television. Did you know that? But God says, if it matters to anyone anymore, you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That's Deuteronomy Chapter 5, verse 11. Just because you don't see people dropping down dead in the street anymore doesn't mean that God is not mocked, but rather it means that God is long-suffering and it's not time for judgment yet. God is mocked by society out on the streets of America, where if you say the name of Jesus Christ, you're a bigot and a hater and an outcast. But if you're gay, they hold a parade for you. The media is in a frenzy waiting for the next transvestite swimmer to appear, so they can honor them. But when you honor sin and dishonor God and shake an angry fist at him, then you bring judgment down upon yourself. Be not deceived, church. God is not mocked. Don't kid yourself. The story is told back in April of the year 1912. A woman gazed up at a hulk of an enormous ship. The woman looked up and gazed at this giant and said to one of the ship hands there. And he answered and said, "Woman," he said, "lady, God himself could not sink this ship." The name of that ship was the SS Titanic. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, this he will also reap. The third group that mocks God is the church. The church. They mock God all the time. How's that? By ordaining homosexuals in the pulpit. Men and women, deacons and leaders of the church that are gay or lesbian mocks God. The Episcopal Church was led by a man who divorced his lifelong wife and moved in with his boyfriend. At least until the Supreme Court did what they did. Then they could get married. By the way, he's divorced now, and his name is Vicky Jean Washington. I guess I personally blame his father for that. Name his son Vicky. What's wrong with Steve or Oscar or Bill or Pete? Or at least, as Johnny Cash would say, sue. Good Lord, at least that. People look up to church leaders. They hold them accountable. They expect them to be mouthpieces for God and to be an extension of God here on earth, a man that knows that whatever he tells you, he's representing God. What do you do with a pastor who tells you it's okay to be homosexual? Any pastor that tells another person that is okay is signing that person's death warrant. You come in here, you expect to hear the truth from me. And if I come in here and represent God and tell you there's nothing wrong with that, this is why James said in James 3:1, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a greater judgment for misleading people. And to pastors that do this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Pastors, you will reap what you sow. Churches mock God by not preaching sin from the pulpit. The new thing in churches today. Now, believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I've got 25 years in a radio station here. I know pastors from all over. I didn't read about this in a book. The new thing in churches today is not offending people by talking about sin, but rather talking about love and the love of God. Many churches don't talk about sin. They consider it a downer. Churches mock God by following that Rick Warren book, The Purpose-Driven Church, which encourages churches to change their name, use a different Bible translation, throw out the hymnal, get rid of God, get rid of the crosses. That's mocking God by doing that. That's by taking the power into your own hand, the thing that you've got the power to fill this place. Then again, I guess I could do that. I could do that, Bill. I used to have someone on the radio that would tape a $50 bill to the bottom of one of these chairs. And if you sat in your lucky chair, you'd win $50. Reminds me of the old guy with the cigar. Say the magic word, win $50. Groucho. Can you imagine that? That can fill the church. In my humble opinion, this right here is an example of God filling the church. He has done this work here. God has transformed this church. The fourth group that mocks God, you. Or you can write on there if you want, I, or me. It's you. You mock God. Look at the context of today's sermon. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For now he's going to connect these thoughts. First, what you've done, and now by how you've done it. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. According to this text, you and I mock God by planting seeds out here today that will reap a future harvest that benefits our fleshly man and not the spirit man that lives inside of us. Everyone with me? Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Sow your seeds to the kingdom of God. And yet so many of you are so good at that in this church. Let me blow your horn for you. So many of you in this church are so good at that, at sowing your seeds first into the kingdom. David said, a sacrifice is no sacrifice that doesn't cost me anything. Says you must die. Must. You must. You've got no other choice. If you live and all that you do is to gratify yourself, the Bible says you must die. There's no other choice for you. Now, I crossed all this off because I knew we wouldn't have time. But what do you know? Looks like we have time. So let me read it. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, I'm in Hebrews 10:26, then there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and of fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and has counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified as a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace? Guess God didn't want me to leave that out. In that regard, you and I mock God by living a lifestyle of sin and by disregarding the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and regard the blood of the covenant, the blood of Christ, as a common thing. Okay, let's turn all this around and start heading for home here this morning. What or why are things different today than they were back in the Old Testament times and all the times that we've looked at? Why are they different? The answer is because of the cross. The mercy of God revealed at the cross. We read in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That is all you and I who have mocked God because of the cross and because of Jesus dying on the cross. God is long-suffering towards us now. And forgiveness is available. We now have the opportunity to have our sins obliterated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Lest I hammer on my hammer. That's good news. Oz, we've got something they haven't got. No goat for you. We've got the blood of the Son of God. And thank God he's long-suffering. At least thank God he has been with me. How many amens can I get in this house? You see, we've all mocked God. We all have. But thank God there's forgiveness provided for us for doing that. Yeah, right, absolutely. That's good news. You and I have mocked God. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I and everyone else, all these people, all these groups, they have all mocked God. And you and I would be right up there with the rest of them, or maybe are. To mock God today, here's how you mock God today. It's to refuse him and refuse his pardon. Now that is a proverbial slap on the face of Almighty God. That his son would die naked on the cross and suffer and endure all the horrible things that he did because God loves you. And for you to turn the old nose up at, remember our definition for mock. After all that he's done, for you to turn your nose up at him, that today is how you mock God. By refusing him, by refusing love. The Bible promises at the end of days, coming up soon, that God is going to send all of those that have mocked God a delusion, a strong delusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you want to read that. But receive Jesus Christ today as your Savior, because he was made a mockery in your place. Matthew 20:18. Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And they will deliver him to the Gentiles to mock him and to scourge him and to crucify him. And on the third day, he will rise again. So Jesus Christ took all of our punishment in our place. He was mocked on the cross and suffered a humiliating death. He was lifted up so that you and I could be forgiven. He died so that you and I could be saved. But do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows in this world, this he will also reap. Jesus died for your sins in order to redeem you back to God. Pastor Darren, I'm going to have you come up here and play. To mock God is to refuse love. To mock God is to turn your nose up at the Son of God who was able to redeem you. But this verse, it's been on my heart all year, 2 years now, comes up again. And that is what's written in Hebrews, where it says, today. You know, we marvel over this. It's always today. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed as long as you've lived, it's never been tomorrow? Because when tomorrow comes, it's today. All your yesterdays are gone. It's today. And the Bible says, today. If God's mercy has extended to you enough that you're still standing here today, if it's today, that is, you're not dead yet or he hasn't come back yet. If it's today, God himself says, if you will hear his voice, then do not harden your heart like they did in the rebellion in the days of the trial in the wilderness. So let me say, as long as it's still today for you, you can change all that and you can make it right. So let's stop here.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.